Gospel text for today from the Gospel according to St. Luke. About 8 days after Jesus asked his disciples who people said that he was, and Peter responded that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's really hard to know quite what to make of the scene that unfolds before us, a scene that the church has come to call the Transfiguration. Jesus, wanting to be in prayer, goes to the mountaintop, an unnamed, perhaps unknown mountain. But that leaves open the possibility that this is every mountain to which the people of God go, the mountain where the people of God go to encounter God. And when God's people go to the mountaintop to encounter God, invariably that mountaintop is enshrouded in cloud. In cloud and majesty and awe as we sing in O Come, Emmanuel. And that makes the cloud of God's presence not only a numinous, but a mysterious presence. A presence that resists being controlled, resists being concretized, resists being memorialized, resists being institutionalized. The presence of God simply cannot be captured in a moment. But of course, that's exactly what Peter wants to do, capture this mountaintop experience, to preserve it, to protect it, to enshrine it, to make it something reliable, dependable, something that they can come to and do time after time. But the numinous, mysterious presence of God always resists that. Seeks always to take the people who have entered into that numinous, mysterious presence and transform them. Indeed, both Moses and Jesus, as they enter into that numinous, mysterious cloud, are transformed. That change is visible to all who see them. But surprisingly, as Alan Culpepper has noted, the disciples seem not to be transformed by their experience. Peter will still deny Jesus. The other disciples are still looking not for the heavenly but an earthly kingdom. The transfiguration scene doesn't even appear in John's gospel. It is little mentioned, if at all, in the church's early preaching. The implication is that the disciples were not transformed by this mountaintop experience. The fact that the disciples weren't transformed by this mountaintop experience is probably owing to the fact that they went to sleep. They managed to stay awake long enough to see Jesus begin to pray, but nodded off before Moses and Elijah appeared in glory to speak with Jesus about his departure, this exodus, his death and resurrection and ascension, which he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem. The disciples wake up in time only to see the light of the glory begin to fade. and the visages of these great heroes of the faith dim. And then, as had happened so often when God's people went up to the mountaintop, that great cloud overshadowed them, and they were terrified, as they should have been. For despite wanting to concretize, to institutionalize, to memorialize the experience, the great cloud of God's numinous, mysterious presence envelops all of them. What happened in there, we want to know? What happens in God's presence? Are all transformed? Are all changed? That, it seems, is the possibility if we are open to entering into the mystery of God's presence, into the depths of God's love, into the marvel of God's grace. But sometimes the mystery is simply too much, and we, like the disciples, are terrified, shrinking back, wanting to go back to sleep. That would be far easier. But when we enter into the numinous, mysterious presence of God, chances are a voice will say, "This is my son. Listen to him." And rather than being allowed to stay in the moment, to concretize and routinize and memorialize and institutionalize God and God's presence, God sends us back down from the mountaintop into the valley, hoping that we have been changed by an encounter with the divine. But even if we, like the disciples, aren't transformed, at least we have been opened to the mysterious presence. Our eyes to the glory of God, our ears to the commands of God. A God who points to Jesus the Christ and says, "This is my Son. Listen to him and walk with him where he will go, even to Jerusalem, even unto death. For in walking with him there, he leads us into life, into glory, into the promise of joy everlasting." Amen. May we continue in our worship, praying that Jesus will shine, that the light of his love will extend to all the nations.